Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Joey Wagner. We are live in Iowa City at Kinnick Stadium, where Illinois goes another year without winning here in Iowa City. They haven't won here in this millennium, this century. It's been since 1999, and Illinois actually kind of followed the same path as they did against Minnesota and looked like they were ripe for yet another road-ranked upset win as they took a 10-0 lead, Joey, but then the offense just sputtered from there. The defense continues to give Illinois time after time a chance to win, but Illinois ultimately loses 33-23 in a score that really doesn't even say what the game was. There was under 600 yards of offense in this game, and there wasn't a lot of offense. But Iowa scores on a special teams kick return touchdown. They score on a pick six really late in the game when Illinois was already down 10. And then Illinois gets some late garbage time points. So the score really doesn't tell the story. But the story for me, again, is the defense gives Illinois a chance. The offense doesn't do enough. And that's the story of the season, right, is the strides a defense has made this team really competitive, Joey. But the offense has missed so many opportunities to make this a sensational first season for Brett Bielema and his crew.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what to make of all of the stark difference, I guess, between the two sides of the ball, because I don't think the defense is that much purely more talented, are they? I don't know. I mean, like, coming into the year, I thought the offense had some guys of two tight ends, Isaiah Williams. We probably were a little higher on Brandon Peters at the beginning of the year, but for a couple quarters, you were starting to see a little bit of that again. Then you look at the backs and the emergence of Josh McCray. I mean, there's reasons on offense you should put up points, but they're not doing it, and they're not doing it really in kind of a grand fashion, right?
Well, I do think, like, the defense has some guys who are highly ranked prospects, right? Like Keith Randolph and Johnny Newton were highly ranked prospects. Owen Carney was a really highly ranked prospect. I think we knew Sidney Brown could be a good player. Tony Adams and Devin Witherspoon had turned into good players. I think the difference is you've seen some defenders emerge under this new scheme and under a new coaching staff, whether that's Isaiah Gay playing his best football in his best game today with 5.5 tackles for loss, Kirby Joseph getting his Big Ten leading fifth interception, comes out of nowhere this season to become, I think, an all Big Ten player offensively. Chase Brown we knew was good, right? But other than that, who's had a better year than we expected, or a breakout season? Like, it's Isaiah Williams, who I think we all knew would be pretty good. I guess Casey Washington's playing some good football, but we've seen some good football from him before. I think that's the difference, is we're not seeing growth from that side of the ball. We can see on the defense that coaching has definitely made more of these players on offense. We haven't seen that. And in many ways, they've regressed a little bit. Now some of that is to play complementary football for your great defense that is playing well, but that, I think that's the difference if we're seeing is players on the defense, whether there's more talent there or not, we've seen players get better and get way better under Ryan Walters.
And utilized in a way to maximize what they do. The offense just – I thought that – I'll be honest. I bought into it a little bit after the first stretch of Minnesota, and then I thought, okay, maybe this team has got it. And you even saw it a little bit against Rutgers, right? There's still a little bit of time left to figure this out, to at least be serviceable for your really good defense. And then today, I mean, not only did they not, after that first, it was the first possession. That was an incredible first possession drawn up by Tony Peterson. Brandon Peters executed good quick hit throws, let your skill players take it home. They did that. I thought it was a really good drive. And to be honest, Jeremy, we probably should have known on the second drive, right? Like, Iowa low snap on the punt, Illinois gets the ball at the 28-yard line. This is free money at this point, right? There was a tripping penalty on Blake Jarisotti out of the barge formation on first down, backed up 15 yards. They ended up getting right back to where they were at the 28-yard line. You settle for a field goal. That should have probably been an indication to us, like, okay, something's going on here, because 28 should, at that 28-yard line, you should probably end up with 7, right? And really take control of this game. And I thought even at 10, I thought they might have figured something out, and you take advantage of the breaks given to you. But not only did they not score a lot offensively, right? And they had the garbage time late, and then the early touchdown. It was a 3-and-outs. I mean, you gave it to Iowa and just great field position. And Ryan Walters' defense stood up, and they shut Iowa down or held them to field goals, where a field goal was a gift, right? I mean, Iowa had the ball at the 17-yard line at one point to start a drive after a kerfluffle on the sidelines, and they held to a field goal. I wonder what it's like to be – and then we tried to ask them. They're not going to tell us, like, it's frustrating, at least to that degree, and Ryan Walters won't. He'll put it on himself. It's got to be frustrating, yeah, right? It's got to be maddening.
Because this defense, for the last, really, what? I mean, 7 of the last 8 games has played winning football. Like, now your offense isn't going to do – you can't count on, you know, one side of the ball to be great every game, right? So maybe you don't have a complete performance. But that side of the ball deserves to be in a bowl game, right? Now, the special teams let them down today. I mean, James McCourt had a great day, and I thought Blake Hayes had a pretty good day. But the special teams return touchdown, where people got out of their lanes. Charlie Jones is a great returner, but still, like, that was a huge momentum shift. When you get a 10-0 lead, to give up that really hurt. And I think it really took the wind out of Illinois' sails. But here's the thing. I don't think we're asking Illinois' offense to be great or expecting them to be great, but they got to be better. When you have the ball and the defense keeps you in the game for 25 minutes in the second half, despite the offense getting one first down on its first 7 drives, you just get one drive, one more drive where you can score a touchdown or get a field goal or 2 field goals, whatever it is. You have to find a way, and they weren't even competitive, right? I mean, one first down in those first 7 drives, and there were 17 points in the last 2 minutes of this game that made it look way different than it was. But there were, I think, 2 drives where Illinois was down 20-16, where the Illini had a chance to take the lead, right, at Iowa, or you had a chance to take the lead at Iowa in the fourth quarter, and you weren't able to do it. It was 3-and-out. Then you get the fourth down, and you fail on that one. Luke Ford drops the pass. That would have been a first down. You had 4 drops in this game. You had 2 interceptions in this game. You had the special teams return touchdown. It's just, man, the defense is doing everything they can, but the offense, and today one big mistake on special teams, kept them from being really close to a bowl game, right? Like, that's what's hard about the season, because I looked at you, Joey, in the third quarter, and I just said, man, they stay competitive. Like, they came into Iowa, if we would have said 33-23, Illinois loses at Iowa before the season, a lot of people probably would have taken that. And in a lot of these competitive games that they've had, but you're so close to having a breakthrough season. Instead of being 6-5 today or 7-4, you're 4-7, right? Going into a Northwestern game, you never feel comfortable having a chance to win.
Yeah, and I think if you're watching this as a fan, the other frustrating part is, A, Illinois' defense played well. There are a couple drives that they kind of got gashed on the ground a little bit, but I thought they did a good job of not completely breaking on those drives. The other part, Iowa's offense begged you to win this football game. Like, they pleaded with you, please, for the love of God, go do something and win.
The deal looked like a backup quarterback, right?
Yes, and Kirby Joseph said, got it, deal. And he comes up with a pick at the 47-yard line. That should be it. That should be the complimentary. At that point, it was still a touchdown game, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was a touchdown game at that point. That should be it. That should be the tie this thing up, get some momentum, go back. And I'll say we also noticed, Jeremy, I know there's been so much made on Brandon Peters, and he did miss some throws. He had some drops that weren't his fault. But he was fired up. I mean, we both had the TV broadcast pulled up. And he was yelling, man. That was as animated, I think, as we've seen Brandon Peters. So, like, that part's coming along, and it doesn't matter, right? I mean, they lost the game, but it was right there. Like, I know fans at this point are like, oh, whatever, basketball is going on, like, in every other year, because it's just blowout after blowout. But the competitive, you know, we've talked about this before, the competitive, like, how close these are, that has got to be a million times more frustrating in a way that you're hopeful for, right? Like, you don't want to get blown out. But goodness gracious, they were right there, and it would not have taken some it wasn't like Illinois' offense needed to score the 35th point of the game to win. Like, the defense and Iowa's offense did everything to set up for a really big storyline program win without Brett Bielema, and it just did not come to be.
Yeah, just had so many chances to take the lead in this game and just never able to get over the hump. And, you know, when you got to throw 36 times with this offense, that's not a recipe for winning. And I think we got to mention the running offense just didn't get going today. Iowa's defense deserves a lot of credit. They're a very good defense. And Illinois had to take what they gave them, which was throwing the ball. And Brandon Peters early on got some things going, and then late got some things going. Great throw to Casey Washington down the field for a 44-yard game. Big one to Donnie Navarro. To get into the middle of the field, and then late had a couple long passes and garbage time to Tip Ryman and Patrick Bryant and Isaiah Williams on the touchdown. But that really hurt when you only get 42 yards from Chase Brown today on 13 carries. You know, Josh McCray has been really bottled up in four of the last five games. Just it feels like he's hit the freshman wall a little bit here, but only 64 yards rushing on 25 carries. That was the second lowest of the season. That's never a good recipe for this offense. So I know they want to run the ball, establish the run. They're unable to do it today. And Iowa deserves credit for the front, but the offensive line I don't think played very well today.
No, I agree. And I will say at times the defensive line, we need to ask Brett Bielema when we talk to him. I didn't know that this was a question for George McDonald. Rob Perry did not make the trip, and I thought his presence was really sorely missed. I thought there were flashes of Calvin Avery and Vertus Brown, but there were also flashes of, like, they're gassed. And
Calvin Avery, noticeably, and Tyler Linderbaum, who's all world. That's a tough matchup for Calvin Avery. I did think Vertus Brown played pretty decently in the fourth quarter, and you saw him get more serious as the game went along just because I thought he disrupted things. He made Tyler Goodson, you know, hop back in the backfield at one point that he got tackled for a loss. So I thought there were some signs of, like, Vertus taking a step forward, but you're right. He was noticeably missed. And I want to mention this, Brian Ferentz, I thought, got away from what was working, which was run it up the middle right behind your guards because their tackles aren't very good. Isaiah Gay was owning their tackles in this game, and Isaiah Gay deserves a ton of credit for today. But I thought Brian Ferentz kind of kept Illinois in this game too because he kept trying to go to the edge. He kept doing these sweeps with his receivers, and they weren't successful. And Illinois kept making some big stops to force field goals or to force punts.
Yeah, I agree. And the other absence, I thought, really, to be honest, you and I didn't notice it early on when we got the travel roster. And there was a moment that Chase Brown was dinged up, and we wondered. Jakari Norwood didn't make the trip either. And we don't have reasons why for these, and obviously we've got a lot of questions for kind of what this was. But
yeah, we were told, I asked for clarification, they said they're out. So that's what we were told.
So, I mean, we'll dig into that on Monday when we talk to Brett Bielema. But and look, I'm not saying Jakari Norwood changes the game. I think that's not right to say. But Josh McCray just really wasn't working, and you wonder if you could have got Jakari, who's fast, out on the edge, if that changes. It's all hindsight at this point, right? But, I mean, your running back rotation, what we thought was a really deep position, it's been trimmed down really significantly, and then you lose Chase Brown, and your other guy, McCray, isn't going, and it gets kind of hard to do what you want to do. But, man, that's not why they lost. They just could not. Just sustaining. It's just sustaining, right? I mean, just at least minimally flipping the field. Make Iowa uncomfortable offensively. I mean, it didn't really matter. I didn't think their offense was great, but it's just really hard when you're starting all of your drives at the inside the 20, inside the 30. That's tough stuff, man.
Second half, 0-6 on third down, 0-1 on fourth down. So, I mean, you can get past the sticks, right? You had one first down before the final garbage time drive where you scored a touchdown to cover, by the way. Way to cover. Backdoor cover for that. Definitely went on the over for this game. I do want to let's shout out some of this defense because I do think the interior struggled a little bit, and that's going to happen with the nose guard situation. But Isaiah Gay, man, what a monster performance. 10 tackles. 5.5 tackles for loss, including 3 straight on one series, Joey, where Iowa was driving and looked like they were going to score another touchdown, and Isaiah Gay, 3 consecutive tackles for loss to end that drive. 5.5 tackles for loss is the most since Jake Hansen had 6 against Kent State back in 2018. So amazing that guy who was, I believe, benched for the Maryland game after the Virginia performance, or one of those games mid-season, was benched. Seth Coleman took over as starter. Seth gets hurt. Isaiah comes back in, and he's playing his best ball, man. I think it's 9 tackles for loss over the last 8 games. That's great to see. And you can tell he's comfortable, and again, he's put in positions to succeed, and it feels like they've developed him really well.
Yeah, these two outside linebackers, we didn't know how he and Owen Carney would convert to these new roles. And it, let's not pretend it was smooth the whole way through. That's certainly not the case. But right now, I mean, those are two of your 3 or 4 best players on the defensive side. This was maybe the best game Isaiah Gay has ever played at Illinois. He was unbelievable. And he single-handedly, on the drive you mentioned, there were a couple, he was just all over the place. You're getting, and Brett was right, you're kind of just every game's different guys, right? Like, it's been, I thought Sidney Brown at Minnesota was the reason, and it's just all these different, this isn't like you've got a George Karlaftis who's just dominating every single game.
Whitney Merciless back in 11. Right?
Yeah, you're just kind of from all over the place, and I thought the secondary, for the most part, hung in there. I mean, it was a big play down the sideline that was really just a prayer from Padilla to try to throw it up, because Owen Carney was bearing down on him. Quan Martin probably should have been called for a flag one way or the other, but it was a really, I'm drawing a blank on who came up with the catch.
Bruce,
yeah. And man, I mean, defense did it again, and it's just all different guys. Seriously, every single guy. I mean, Devin Witherspoon, 7 tackles. Kirby Joseph, 6 tackles a pick. I mean, you go down the line, Kalon Tolson, Tariq Barnes, both to half a tackle for a loss, just all over the place.
And that's the thing about this defense is, like, you know, Kirby Joseph with that pick at the end, it just shows how rangy he is. That was a bad throw by Padilla, and especially in that time and situation. Like, why is he making that throw? But to have a guy who can go make that play, high point it, has that range to go make that play, you know, he's playing at all Big Ten level, and it's really hard. And I think Brett Bielema has talked about this, to name a defensive MVP this year. Like, at times I've thought Kirby, at times I've thought Keith Randolph, at times I've thought Owen Carney. Today you can think of Isaiah Gay, right? And then, you know, at times I think Sidney Brown has played like that. So when they talk about, he's kind of talking about no-name defense or whatever it is, you know, there's not a guy on here that I don't know is going to get a bunch of all Big Ten consideration, but I think a lot of them should. I think, like, outside of Illinois, not a lot of these guys will get that much of attention, but they play some really good ball, and I think that says a lot about what they're doing as a unit. And they just believe, man. They're really confident, and they haven't shown the frustration of just giving up at the end of these games when their offense fails to score. They keep making stop after stop, and that's a credit to them, man, because I've seen in the past where it's just like, hey, we're just frustrated, we're gassed because our offense can't stay on the field.
Yeah, now I try to pinpoint what went wrong offensively, right? I mean, I thought stopping the run, like, Illinois has not been shy about their desire to run the football. Now Brett Bielema will tell you they want to be balanced. That's fine. When they're running the ball effectively and they're doing what they did on the first drive, and this was different because they passed it, and they're controlling the clock and their string of plays, they're a solid enough offense. And today I thought the offensive line at times just wasn't very good. Brandon Peters was under a lot of pressure, and we kind of saw Brandon Peters step back a little bit to what we had seen before, but just a combination, right? He had bad throws. He had bad drops. How do you keep going as a defense? Like, when you look across, like, you're not even – all these 3-and-outs, you're basically over there saying hi to each other again, and you're back on the field. That's got to be so frustrating.
Yeah, let me look this up, because the second half, the time of possession had to be – insane. I don't know if they have the stat for it, but at the end of the game, it was pretty lopsided, I believe.
It was 18 in the second half. It was 18 minutes 49 seconds for Iowa, 9 minutes 32 seconds for Illinois.
I'm surprised it's that much for Illinois, to be honest with you. It felt like it was 24-6, right? Because your offense couldn't do anything. And yeah, so where do they go from here, right? Because they're not going to fix this in a week. You hope you can score enough points to beat Northwestern and potentially backdoor your way into a bowl game, right? So, like, my column tonight is going to be about the offense, but I know everyone wants to sit here and say, fire Tony Peterson. I got to go through Brett Bielema's history. He hasn't fired a lot of guys, I don't think, year one, so I'd have to go back and look through all that. Tony's on a 3-year contract. This is what Brett wants to run. I think we all know they need to upgrade talent. right? So Brandon Peters, they got to find an upgraded quarterback. They got to find more receivers like Isaiah Williams and Casey Washington who can make an impact. Because two of the guys we thought were going to make huge impacts this year, at least an impact, weren't even here today, right? Brian Hightower and Jafar Armstrong. Like, they're not even here today. So, like, those guys either just didn't break through this year, or the staff didn't think they could count on them, or they just haven't been developed. So, like, that's a concern when you think two of your most talented guys aren't even on the travel roster at Iowa in week 11, not due to injury. So they got to upgrade that position. And, of course, an offensive line that struggled today, you lose four of those guys. So how many strides can they make with that? And then, you know, Brett Bielema and Tony Peterson are going to have to get together and figure out, like, does Brett think this is good enough? What changes do they have to make, whether it's his play callers or not? There were some shots I like that Tony took in this game, and there were some play calls that, you know, a rollout pass to Chase Brown that Chase just dropped, a rollout pass to Daniel Barker that Barker just dropped. Brandon had Barker wide open on kind of like this wheel route towards the end zone right after, what was that, the big play to Washington. Mm-hmm. That could have been a 1-2 strike. You take the lead, I believe. So, those plays are there. I like those play calls. And if Brandon Peters makes those throws or these receivers don't drop the ball, maybe we're singing a different tune with Tony Peters.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This isn't as 75-25 Tony's fault versus the offense fault as I think a lot of people like to think it is. I mean, there are plays where we're up here in the box and you can see a lot more, like guys just running down the field uncovered.
The Deuce Span throw deep. Like, one, Brandon overthrew him, the first one. And then Deuce, it felt like he, I don't know if he played again after, it looked like he pulled up a little bit. I thought Brandon placed that ball incredibly well. Maybe he could have had a little bit more loft on it, but it just looked like Deuce pulled up or something. But I thought that was a great shot. You had a wide open ball right there and you just weren't able to complete it.
You know, we talked a lot early in the season about Ryan Walters' side of the ball fitting to his team's skills. And I remember, Jeremy, a lot of times, I think UTSA might be the one that comes to mind. We said, why isn't Tony Peterson attacking the edges, right? How many times did we say that in a post game? You know what they did a lot of today? Rolled those tight ends out there in the flat a little bit, the running backs out in the flat. Chase Brown had a drop that would have continued to drive. That's adjusting to what you have. Now, it is not working. Like, I'm not trying to say this is some, like, overlooked hero of offensive play calling here, but you are, like, there is development and growth there. I mean, it's not showing up, but if you look at it, you're seeing him do a lot of the things that looked, I mean, to us, we're not offensive coordinators for a reason here, but like, it looked to us like, hey, that seems to have worked a few times, and they're doing that now. There's a lot of head scratching. Like, I thought at the end of the first half, that was a horrible drive. He got scared after Brandon Peters threw a pick, is my read on it. And basically just said, whoa, we're done with that. Let's just get to halftime. I really like that when you're on the road against a ranked team trying to do this with all of this background noise of your head coach not being here and what a week it's been. You get a chance to kind of throw a punch, man. Throw it. Hit people. And so I do think there's more of the lack of execution. It's just a blending of all of it. It's not just Tony's up here sleeping. That's not the case.
Yeah, like, there are some conservative play calls that I haven't loved, whether it's a run on 3rd and 3, right, or 3rd and 5, and you get 2 yards, and then you got to punt it from Iowa territory. Stuff like that obviously has shown itself throughout this season that I think that's part of what Brett wants to do. He plays these odds, and field position is really important to them, and they trust their defense, which they should at this point of the season. I do love that – I didn't love that they called the timeout to do it, but the whole staff, George McDonald said, called the timeout when they were going to punt on 4th down in Iowa territory. They didn't do it. They went for it. It wasn't successful, but I was happy that at least got together as a staff and talked it over and said, we got to go for this. Like, you have to. So that was nice, even though it wasn't successful and you did burn a timeout. But to do that, I thought was important. But, yeah, I just think you have to find out, why are we not as successful offensively in getting more out of our players, getting them to succeed doing what they're doing? Because there are some moments where the coaching does give them the opportunities while our defense is continually having success, right? So that's something in the offseason that Brett Bielema's just got to figure out. I don't know the answers to that. I don't know if it's a new coordinator. I don't know if it's just getting a bunch of talent upgrades. But it's certainly – there's a disconnect on the offense that there certainly isn't on defense right now.
That's exactly right. And as we watched this game, you know who really hurt Illinois at times? Arlen Bruce, and Keegan Johnson. They're two freshmen. They were top 400 kids. They're playing exactly like top 400 kids, maybe better, you could argue, as true freshmen. There isn't an Arlen Bruce on Illinois right now. There isn't a Keegan Johnson on Illinois. Those things eventually come to bubble. We knew wide receiver was going to be a concern. And to your point from earlier, when two of the guys that we on the outside, and obviously we're wrong in our projection of what these guys were going to be, when they are not who they are, you're looking at, and maybe Pat Bryant's going to be good. I'm not, this isn't saying he isn't, but you're looking at him and Carlos Sandy. And at one point it looked to me like Michael Marquez was lined up in a bunch formation. That is problematic. It helps. You can bail your quarterback out a lot and maybe even some play calling with an Arlen Bruce, with the Keegan Johnson. And
stuff that like Donnie Navarro can't do.
Right? Yeah, and sure-handed. I mean, Donnie's usually sure-handed. The drop is probably dumb luck and probably could have been a better throw, right? I mean, but you got to come up with that. When you're limited, you know, just in terms of physical stuff, that routine, that's got to happen or – you end up with an offense that sputters and falls over itself. And of course, I know this sounds like we're kind of letting Tony off the hook. He did have, again, drives that we just thought, ah, geez, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, he bears responsibility for it, right? He's the offensive coordinator. So I just mean, you know, sometimes there are plays. I think fans that watch the game see the plays that are available that could change the game, right? So they are there. Iowa made some of them today, especially Arlen Bruce with several of them. Tyler Goodson, they established the run. Illinois didn't. And they got a big special teams touchdown. So that's the difference in the game. But you could tell, like, Illinois and Iowa, whether it's Illinois, Iowa, Penn State, Minnesota, Purdue, all these teams, there isn't a huge gap this year, which I think you have to be you have to be happy about that. At least that side of the ball is keeping you in games. It's just so frustrating because the other side of the ball is not allowing you to win those games. I do want to bring up, Joey, like the kerfuffle, as you called it, on the sidelines. I didn't get a good look at that. I didn't get to see a good replay. We had FS1 on our computers, but they didn't seem like they wanted to be at the game very much because the timeouts were ridiculously long, and they didn't show a lot of replays. And, oh, their broadcasters weren't at the actual game. So we didn't get to really see, like, who swung or who did what. So I don't have a huge opinion on what happened there with the officials because I didn't get to see it. I didn't think the Owen Kearney one was targeting, and it certainly wasn't. They overcalled that, but I thought that was a rough roughing the passer on him as well, but that obviously set up Iowa for a key 3 points late in the game. But I didn't get—I don't have a huge opinion on what happened there because I didn't get to see a good replay.
No, the thing I love about trying to understand where 30 yards of penalties come from is just not being able to see it once because FS1 was stinky. I mean, come on now. Like, I'm not even talking about the talent who called the game. I didn't listen. I don't care. But like, if you can't see it, that's really tough. But
10 penalties, 96 yards. Like the Illinois, you can't put yourself in those situations. You can't push back in those opportunities because you got to win a game. It's the fourth quarter. And it was Michael Marquez, Kendall Smith that got called. Those are super seniors, right? Yeah, Blake Gerasati get called for tripping. That's a super senior. Like, they can't have those penalties. 10 for 96. Iowa was 3 for 23. That was a big difference.
And 30 of those 96 came on one. And somebody should probably get Ryan Walters a steak for saving 3 points on that, right? I mean, that should have been a touchdown because on the very next play after that, that was the Owen Kearney roughing the wide receiver passer. I really don't know what you're supposed to do on that because he could just as likely continue to run.
He hit him too hard.
Well, I don't know. It's Roger Goodell here. What are we doing here? But, I mean, honestly, so realistically, Jeremy, that drive was first and goal at the 8 to start after a punt.
Yeah.
3 points. I mean, that is so emblematic of what this team is, which is Ryan Walters earning a million freaking bucks is what this team is and earning every penny of it. You can't have those. The penalties were brutal, and it's been a weird week and kind of capped off with a really weird day.
Yeah. And I guess we haven't even said the big thing, and that's that, you know, Brett Bielema wasn't here. And kudos to his staff. And him for putting together a game plan to compete in this game. But for Stafford, not having, like, there were chances, Julie, for, like, some embarrassing moments, right? Or some, like, real confusion. And it wasn't evident. Like, they did have to call a timeout to figure out fourth down, but at least they didn't rush out there and punt it and be like, oh, no, what did we just do? They called the timeout. They said, okay, let's get this right. They made the decision. Didn't work out going for it, but that's because your tight end dropped the ball.
Let's be honest. I'm not sure they wouldn't have called that timeout with Brett Bielema here, right? I mean, to really figure it out, that's not a knock on anything. It's just That was a really big moment in that football game. I will say, if you were just dropped in without any knowledge that Illinois' head coach was in some bunker in Champaign-Urbana, you probably wouldn't have known that their head coach wasn't here. Like, that is – now, from us on the in the press box, right? I don't know. Maybe it was verbal chaos on the sidelines. I don't get that sense at all. That's really impressive to be able to piece together a game, and I'm sure it was a long week with a lot of testing and a lot of making sure everybody who was here could be here to hold that together. And this isn't some moral victory, right? But to hold that together and not even really have any big gaffe where you're like, oh my God, or geez, Brett Bielema wasn't here. That wouldn't have happened if he was here. We knew this staff was good. That was a really pretty big day for them, I thought. And I thought George McDonald handled everything right. I'm still not entirely clear on whose duties were what, and I tried my best to figure it out all week. But, man, good for them. And Brett Bielema's got to be pretty beyond the loss, right? He's got to be pretty happy with how his guys stepped into some of these roles, which are not easy to step into.
Yeah, I think George McDonald was really impressive in the post game, how he handled this. And I'm sure Josh Witten was watching it in the room, and I think he was pretty proud of him, just an alum doing that. I could see him being a head coach someday. I can see Kevin Kane, obviously, Ryan Walters. I think it's been a pretty impressive staff, right? And I think there are a lot of building blocks to build on. You just want more on offense, right? You just want more on that side of the ball. And that's the question. You've accomplished a lot defensively. Special teams are going to have a big makeover next year with losing your guys. We did see Caleb Griffin get a kickoff because James McCourt.
He went Superman.
Yeah, James McCourt tried to save the touchdown with Charlie Jones. He got an arm on him, just Charlie ran through it. But McCourt looked like he had a hammy or something. He still kicked three field goals of 45-plus yards. Great performance by James McCourt with that. But, you know, offensively, what do you have to build upon other than Chase Brown, Isaiah Williams? That's what you got to figure out. And it's mostly going to be this offseason. But one more game left, Joey, against the Northwestern team that lost today, right?
Let's just assume
that they did. Yeah, Northwestern lost to Purdue 32-14. Purdue or Northwestern, just the up and down seasons they have, man. But you can never count them out against Illinois because they've won six straight. Pat Fitzgerald's won 11 of 15 against Illinois. This is big, man. If you can get to 5-7 and potentially play yourself into a backdoor bowl at five wins, you get in with your APR, which we'll figure all that out this week. But if you can beat Northwestern, get that Land of Lincoln trophy back after some of the nice wins you've had before this year, if you can get to 5-7, I think people would feel pretty good about that at the end of the day, whether it's a bowl or not, Joe. But, like, if you get to a bowl too, you had all those bowl practices, you get to sell that you're in the postseason, have a chance to get to six wins, like, all of that. There's still a lot on the table here if you can find a way to win one more game.
Yeah, you get to book your hotel in Detroit on Christmas. And is that not what everybody wants? People are asking. But, I mean, seriously, 5-7, regular season, and Brett Bielema's first year, it's pretty good. I mean, I thought they might go to a bowl, and as you look at this, you can see there's anywhere between 1 and 450 passes that they could have gone to a bowl through some of these games that have just fallen apart. 5-7, you know, assume that gets you there. You're playing a MAC team. Find yourself into a six-win first season, right? I mean, if you're not beating a MAC team, that's just alternative universe, ending the season in a loss to a bowl game to a MAC team. Anyway, that's a good selling point for Brett Bielema out on the recruiting trail. And when I say recruiting trail, at this point I mean the transfer portal trail, right? That is the most important place that this staff is going to live after this season ends, whenever that may be. And it may well be a week from now, right? It's going to be a really big deal, and I know we've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again. The quarterback, how do you do it timing-wise, right? I mean, what's the balance between getting someone now versus exploring everyone that's out there? It's such a delicate place, that transfer portal market, and that'll be interesting. But it's still there, right? And I know people are frustrated with what this was and what some of the Maryland's, the Purdue's of the world games were, yeah. Rutgers. It should be. I mean, it should be. But you are seeing it. The offense is probably closer than I think a lot of fans who are angry immediately after a game, and I understand, want to think it is, but it might not be as close at times as I think maybe the coaching staff is telling us they think it is. There's probably some balance in the middle.
At some point, you want to see it break through. At some point, you got to score. I know they scored 23 points in a Big Ten game today for the first time since Nebraska. It was garbage time, right? Like, that was garbage time. Like, they need to have a big performance. And that's what Isaiah was basically saying. Like, we need to put it all together. Like, one day we'll run great, but we don't pass great. One day we'll pass good, but we don't run very well. They got to have like one of those performances to really build on and to feel good about.
Yeah, and again, I thought we had seen spurts. And now, like, in my mind, I go back to Minnesota. It felt like, and I'm sure Tony Peterson and Brett Bielema would kind of push back on this a little bit, but it felt like they got the lead and did everything in their power to not lose
that
lead.
Hold on for dear life.
In my mind, I think, well, what if you try to build it here, right? Like, what if you get a little risky and you try to get a little swagger going with your team? And now they were going into a bye, right? So, like, what? You know, how do you sustain that? I don't know. But at some point, they've got to be able to. Even within a game, we've not seen it, Jeremy. We have not seen it within a football game. And then as you zoom out a little bit, you certainly haven't seen it week to week. But to see an offense like they had the first drive, which was really good. It's like 12 plays.
One of the best defenses in the Big Ten. You drive 12 plays, 75 yards. Beautiful execution. Beautiful play design. Beautiful script by Tony Peterson. It was just like Minnesota, right? And then, you know, you get the turnover for Iowa on the terrible punt snap. But, like, so you just gifted 3 points there. But you take advantage of it. James McCord executes. And you get up 10-0. And that's just nothing after that. That's what's amazing is, like, you can't even get 30 yards to have a good punt and put them in bad field position. Like, that's the frustrating stuff is you got to maintain possession. This team has to have ball control and you know, control the clock and unable to do it at all today.
Yeah, sometimes they look like a really, really competent offense, and sometimes they look like they've never played offense before in their entire life. It's such a wild – like, I know we talked about this after Minnesota. We don't know what this team is. I don't know what this offense is drive to drive, man. And I know George McDonald said they had some penalties today that hurt them offensively. That is true, but that is not – like, I mean, was it Rutgers was one of the penalties actually legitimately were in the second half a concern. I don't believe that was as much the case today as was pointed. And I get why George was up there in his one stint as the head coach post-game press conference. I'm not faulting him. I get it, right?
There were a couple penalties, but it's drops, it's missed throws, it's unable to run the ball when you need to run the ball. It was all of it. It was all execution on every angle of it. All right, I think we covered it. Illinois' offense needs to be better. I think that's the main takeaway from all of this and the entire season. But they got one more game to try and get to 5 wins, which I think most of us would say before the season would be okay. Would be an okay, solid season. Obviously, you're just frustrated because it could have been a really good season.
Agreed. If we can end, can we just shout out the really cool Marquez brothers moment before the game? That was awesome. Like, you and I were watching, and Michael Marquez comes trotting out, and I'm like, what in the world is this dude doing? Like, no one else is out here. He meets with his parents, and he meets with his twin brother, Henry, at midfield. That's cool, dude. That's just really, really
cool. Senior day for Henry, his twin brother, yeah.
That was awesome. And the game didn't go the way Illinois wanted it to, but, like, that's pretty freaking cool.
And cool moment for George to have, you know, be the acting head coach. Like, that's a pretty cool moment for him.
That is alma mater. Like, sorry, I didn't mean to cut. Like, in his radio show on Wednesday, what a cool detail. He talked about standing at the 50 with Josh Whitman, two teammates in the 90s looking around, like, look at where we are. One of us is the AD. One of us is the acting head coach this week and such an important piece of this offensive coaching staff every other week. For him to step into that, like, I tried to get it out of him a little bit. I could not. But I think it had to mean a lot to him. And he didn't want to steal the shine, I guess, away from everybody else. And I know we had a lot of help. I'm not trying to say this was a one-person rock band, and Brett Bielema was part of that help. But I hope he goes to bed tonight kind of understanding what that was. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. No, it was really cool. All right, that'll do it for us at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. We'll be have more content on the website tonight. Joey will talk about the crazy week that was for Illinois without its head coach. I'll have a column on the offense as well. And then I'll be heading to Kansas City. Joey will be heading back to Champaign to cover football for the week. Derek Piper will meet me in Kansas City for basketball as well. And we got some state playoffs to cover later in the week. Right, Joe?
Yeah, Joliet Catholic, Malachi Hood, Jordan Anderson playing for a state title, Ian Pugh and 5A playing for a state title for Fenwick.
I like your folksy way of saying Joliet. It's Joliet, bud.
Hey, man.
Hey, you want to say Joliet, I like it. It's jolly.
You know what? You know what? Fine. I don't want to be jolly. I think we all know that to be true. That's great. Take the moment away from the kids. That's awesome. But we'll have coverage from DeKalb, and pretty cool for – we thought it was going to be a really good storyline, right, with Joliet. Good God, man.
I got you second guessing. You know. No, Rochester, Joliet would have been nice. But Rochester upset the Leonard Bowl by Ken Leonard and the Sacred Heart Griffin.
No upset when Ken Leonard's coaching. That's true. Ken Leonard is royalty of coaching here. And Kankakee made it. And he's got some guys, or a guy, a really, really good guy, is Jair Hill, right? He'll be there. And a good weekend for high school football. And next week will be fun, too.
Yeah, some upsets, including Loyola going down in Class 8A as well. We'll have coverage of all of that in a busy week ahead, the final week of the regular season for football. We'll see if there's a postseason for Illinois football. It would just make us more busy during the month of December as well. But Illinois basketball around the corner as well. Check out the VIP film room with Michael Tulip breaking down Curbelo's wild night at Marquette, what he needs to learn from it. Put that on the site today as well. Until next time, everybody, have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.